Folks, it's Brian, and I'm going to be... Can I be real with you for a second? This is a really fun episode. You're going to really like it. We have a great guest, Biniam Bazuna, who's an old friend of mine, been in a bunch of NSP videos, and is a super talented comedian and writer. And if you want to see our faces and his, you can go to patreon.com/latenight and sign up at any tier to get a video version of the episode. Also, if you sign up at $5 a month or more, you can get mini episodes every week. And trust me, that's where the real fun stuff happens. Anyway, enjoy this wonderful episode with the amazing Biniam Bazuna.
Am I the first guest to ever put in contacts on the air?
Yeah, it's like that time Marc Maron had someone pump breast milk.
Oh, it's amazing. This is like when Courtney Love showed her boobs to Letterman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All-time.
You remember that?
All-time talk show moment. I do remember that, yes.
Yeah, big deal. Back when people used to watch stuff live on television.
I know. Remember TV?
Oh, like, we did it.
Too young. We did it.
Dude, it's happening. So smooth with those as like somebody who stopped wearing contacts because I couldn't stand the process.
I stopped wearing them as much just because I was like, sometimes it makes my eyes scratchy and I forget to take them out. But I still pop them in when I want to, you know, be like, I don't need glasses, or I'm going to like go on a run or play basketball or something where you don't want to have metal attached to your forehead, you know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you look great either way. So
it's like, thank you so much.
Either way, it's a winning proposition.
Well, you took your glasses off too, Layton, so I'm just trying to match the vibes.
I did, because I just discovered that there's a new feature on this that adds a beauty filter on your video. And I'm giving it a shot because I don't want glasses to interrupt. Because my glasses prescription is so horrifically out of date. So I put them on and I'm like, this still is not quite what I need.
Is that really helping?
But so they make you look smarter. So,
you know, they at least make you look like stylish. That's kind of like my glasses are the real circular Harry Potter-ish looking ones. And these have become like so trendy with like film bro type people where it's almost
very much,
you know?
Yeah. It's like that guy is going to offer you yellow American spirits and tell you what his Tarkovsky movie is.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's interesting that those are now Harry Potter glasses. Whereas when I was a kid, they were John Lennon glasses, of course. Right. You know, who was the round glasses guy before Harry Potter?
And, you know, honestly, you could say very similar people. John Lennon, Harry Potter.
That's right.
They have a lot in common.
You know,
they both were into Asian women, you know?
That's right.
Something that
I was going to say, actually, I've been a big J.K. Rowling fan for years. And I just recently found out she's an author as well.
I was like, I just like her for her work. I just like her for her tweets, honestly. And
I'm
like, what?
I just was following her online. I was
books?
Like, these are good opinions. Wow, I should read some of her other work. But then it's all like this fantasy stuff.
And I'm like, nah,
wasn't into
it. I'm about the real world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, her non-authorial work is truly fantastic in a fantasy sense. What reality are we talking about here?
Another fantasy. Isn't it crazy that she, did you know that she writes novels that are like crime things under a dude's name?
I did. Yes. I can't remember the names. What's the name? Do you guys remember?
Remember the name, but I seem to recall that the name has something to do with like a prominent anti-trans activist or researcher. Yeah, it's like,
hold on. Robert Galbraith. Robert Galbraith. That's what it
Robert
is.
Robert Galbraith. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I need to fact check what I said, but she never fact checks anything. So.
Oh, no, actually it's is this worse? Quote, because it's one of my favorite men's names and because Robert F. Kennedy is my hero. So,
you know, I did just Bobby Kennedy is her guy. I did just, have you guys ever seen JFK, the movie? The
a long time ago, you know, 20 years ago.
No.
Okay. I just rewatched it. It still holds up, and it made me do a lot of research on Sirhan Sirhan and, you know, Jack Ruby. These are all the people who killed Kennedys and killed Lee Oswald and all this stuff. And that movie, you watch it and you go like, this, I'm a believer. And also, this is probably where QAnon came from. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
And it's a huge, I'll just say this one other thing about it. It's a huge movie with A-list stars. It's like Joe Pesci and
Costner.
Fucking Costner and all these people. And it is positing a conspiracy theory, which seems true, that is like, was a huge like Oscar winning movie. And that would kind of be like if a 9/11 truth movie came out now starring like Timothy Chalamet and Brad Pitt, you know? And it's like, I'm like, how does this movie exist?
That movie. Okay. That movie is called Ground Zero. Right.
Yes.
That's the name. That's the name of the movie. And it is about the forming of the plot to, you know, to do 9/11, but it's all like, it's the conspiracy theory. That's right.
Who are we casting as Bush in this situation?
Oh, I mean, well, Brolin already did it, right? Wasn't he Brolin in the other Oliver Stone? That's another Oliver Stone, right? The W movie?
The W, which that movie kind of disappeared from time. I feel like people forgot that movie.
Haven't thought about it in years. And it was, who was Richard Dreyfuss? Is Dick Cheney? Is that right?
That sounds right. I honestly haven't seen it.
I might be making that up. Yeah.
I think W now would probably be like, did you see the trailer for the Sebastian Stan movie where he's playing Trump?
No,
I haven't seen the trailer, but I've seen a million Reddit posts about it.
Is that
it.
The Apprentice? The one that's coming out? Like, okay, that one. Okay.
And I feel like he could play George W. Bush as well. He just can kind of like morph himself. As long as he does a little accent or if we're going for like someone that's has a little bit of a Southern vibe to them, we get somebody from Yellowstone. Have you guys ever seen Yellowstone?
I actually haven't.
No.
I know it's like the most popular show I've never seen a single episode of.
So I know a guy from it. I've watched the pilot, but that it just seemed like there's too many episodes. I was just like, oh, it's too much. But I know a guy named Jimmy.
Why I haven't watched it. Yeah.
There's a guy named Jimmy in the show, played by a guy I know who I think could also play Bush, and he's got the accent down.
Okay.
I know this is what you guys want to talk
Jimmy
about, right?
Jimmy from Yellowstone.
Got it.
Yeah.
What about?
Right. I do, honestly, I do love dream casting movies that we're coming up with. I think this is a very good use of all of our time.
Okay. 100%. What about Bob Odenkirk?
That's really good. That's really good. I think,
like, physically, I don't think it would be a match, but I think he could do it. And mainly because I want to see it. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point in the movie, he goes, "My Little Women." And then the movie's
is we stunt cast. It's Odenkirk as W and then Bryan Cranston as Dick Cheney. Right.
Ooh,
so you're kind of reversing.
Dick Cheney.
Right.
In the who played Dick Cheney in the movie The Cheney or Vice? Was that somebody crazy?
Yeah, who was that?
That was another Oliver Stone movie.
Was it?
He's like obsessed with the
exactly
Bush president.
No, kind of thing.
That was the Adam.
Oh, Adam McKay. That was Adam McKay. Someone where you're like, oh my! Oh, it was Christian Bale. Christian Bale played
Christian
Cheney.
Bale. Yeah.
Whoa! I forgot that.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
And he did. And he was doing the voice too. He was like, yeah.
Isn't it crazy that guy was a fucking child actor, Christian Bale? Like, started out as a kid and was in, what is it, Empire of the Sun? I think it was like his movie as like a little kid, which they made us watch in summer camp. I remember this very clearly.
I never saw that movie, but I know it exists. And him, same with, I guess, like Leonardo DiCaprio was on Growing Pains as a kid.
Yeah.
These people.
It's fascinating to watch these like trajectories into like successful adult actors. Kenan Thompson, right, who is not a dramatic actor, but has been acting since he was zero, as far as I can tell. Like, has been on screen his entire life.
Is this movie his opportunity to play Colin Powell? Are you going to put him in there?
100% it is. 100% it is. I like that. It does seem like it's time for him to do a... I mean, maybe the guy hasn't. I just don't know. For time for him to do a dramatic thing like so many comedians do, right?
Yeah, I don't think he has. And I think he could. I think if like... Because I've heard him on enough podcasts where he's like not doing his like kind of SNL type thing.
Yeah, and he's just
talking like a guy. I'm like, oh, if you put you in something and you were just talking like this, like no shtick, I would believe he's just a guy going through whatever, you know?
Right. And he's lived his whole life in front of a camera. He's totally cool with it. He just, you know, he's a natural actor. I bet he could do it in a heartbeat.
Where's Kenan Thompson's Barry? Let's go.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, Kenan Thompson being a serial killer / actor. What would be his version? He's like a,
Mr. Brooks type thing.
Okay, so I actually have a movie idea for Kenan. I'm going to reveal it here. It's something I've thought of in the past, but like I never wrote it, so I'm like, whatever. Okay, so on TikTok, this is something I found maybe 3-4 years ago. There's this guy named Korean Dad. That's his handle, okay? And what he does is he will speak straight to camera and he will act as if the camera is his kid. So they'll like...
I have seen this guy. Yes, I know who you're talking about. Yes.
They'll go to like the Asian supermarket, like H Mart, and then he'll be like, hey, should we get some of these? Or like, do you want, you know, like that kind of thing? Or he's like, hey, good job on your homework or whatever. And then there'll be people who duet these videos bawling, crying, like because they didn't have a Korean dad in their life. And then I've even seen black people like bawling, crying at this guy too, because they're just like, even though he's Korean, he's still a dad figure.
Like a dad figure.
And I was like, this is, first of all, people filming themselves crying, always fascinating. I'm like, wow, what is this world we live in? And then like people, being able to believe, it's because you're like, you're pressing record. So obviously there's prep involved, right?
You set up your ring light for this.
You're like, okay, get this going. Let me do at the video. Let me press record. Okay, now cry.
I want to talk about something, but I want to get to this movie pitch first.
Oh, okay. I'll say the movie pitch, and then he says, so I was like, this is so interesting. How funny would it be if there was a movie where there was a guy who had like, let's say he has a restaurant. This is Kenan character. Okay. It's like not doing well. A young employee of his shows him Korean Dad on TikTok. And he's like, man, this guy's got like 300,000, 400,000 followers. All he does is he like pretends to be a dad. And maybe you could do that for this business. You could be like, you know, black dad, you know, Korean
black restaurant dad.
And he's like, okay. So he starts making these videos where he's like, hey, you know, just making the burgers. Do you want to try some? Or like, hey, I made dinner for you. How you doing? And it doesn't really take off, but there is like one guy who keeps messaging him. And then that guy starts like, some guy starts showing up at the restaurant, starts stalking him, is like, I am your son. You are my, and it becomes a very like stalker, nightcrawler thing of like a young black man who is coming after Kenan. And he's like, I'm not your dad. It's just a TikTok. And that's, you know, that's the movie.
Wow.
That movie the movie's called Parasocial.
Parasocial. Ooh. That's how about movie. Parent Social?
Parent Ooh. Social. That even better. That's it. I wrote that down. That's how good it is. Parent Social, one word.
I love that. It's sort of like the John Travolta Fred Durst The Fanatic. Did you guys see The Fanatic?
No.
Ooh, no. I need to see it. Oh,
my two favorite people. Rough. Please continue.
Yeah. No, it's wild. Down. There's a really good Red Letter Media video on The Fanatic, but it is a wild movie.
It made me think of, have you guys seen the Patton Oswalt movie, Big Fan?
Yes. Yes. No.
It's about him being obsessed with some like NFL player, and he's like basically stalking them, but he's unaware.
He calls into like a sports talk show constantly, right? And I remember I saw it 10 years ago or 15, whenever it came out. It's not that recent, but I remember I've been a Patton fan for years and I was like, oh my God, a Patton Oswalt movie where he's like the lead. I remember really enjoying it.
What, Ratatouille wasn't enough for you?
It was not enough for me. No.
I feel like Was that his first dramatic thing, or had he done stuff like that before?
There was Young Adult also. And I think Young Adult was before Big Fan, but I could be wrong.
Is that the Diablo Cody one?
Yes.
Yes.
I forgot that he was in that.
And Charlize Theron, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking very hot in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I do not believe that you don't have your life together. You're too hot to not have your life together. Come on.
Absolutely. The thing I wanted to talk about before is which the Keenan idea, which I think is a great idea, reminded me of, is reaction videos.
Ooh,
and because the idea of like I'm prepping this thing and I'm gonna react to it real time is such an odd genre to me, because it's exactly this illusion of, is this person watching it or experiencing it for the first time or not? Or how many retakes are they doing? You know, are they, and I see that because I see a lot of react to NSP, you know, things recommended to me in the algorithm. And it's, I don't know how serious, you know, A, it's not a genre I generally watch, but exactly this question of, is this real? Is this the first time they're seeing it? What is going on with these is fascinating to me. So I'm curious, do you watch reaction videos?
I mean, you can't help but see them, because oftentimes that's how you discover the content that they are reacting to. You see it first in a reaction video. And then I'm always like, the person who made the original content must be like, well, I mean, you're just kind of showing my thing. So I guess you're changing it a little bit. There's this one guy who is the king of this stuff. Do you ever watch this animator named Meat Canyon?
That sounds familiar.
The name does sound familiar.
Remember back at Maker, Vernon is a guy that me and Layton mutually know. He used to represent all these animators on YouTube. And, I don't really follow that world anymore, but this guy somehow popped up and he makes all of these pop culture, like animated things that are super dark. And they are like taking something that we all realize from YouTube and then making it into almost like a horror movie. And there's this one guy who's like, he's some type of Eastern European. And he watches these videos and he's always like, and you don't even know what he's saying really. And he makes himself really small in the corner. So it's like barely changing the original thing. Mm-hmm. And he made a video about this guy. That's amazing. But I've seen these ones where they are just trying to effectively minimize their footprint so that the person is just really watching the original video.
Mm-hmm.
They make themselves on a green screen. They make themselves transparent. They're about as big as my fist is right here. Yep. You know,
see, that's the opposite of the ones that I have seen reacting to NSP, where it's the NSP video is real small in the corner and their faces are like huge, like taking up the entire screen. With like a tiny thing.
At least in that sense, and that means you got good fans. They are like, this is about me reacting to this thing instead of trying to trick you into watching something and I get the views instead of the original thing. But
my favorite is when they say nothing. So it's like, if you roast me for the thing that I'm about to hold up, I deserve it. But let's say this is the video and it's in the background and the person's just like, and that's the extent. That's the extent of the reaction that they're doing.
I mean,
how do you sleep at night?
And that's the extent of the reaction too. Okay, I'll do you even one better. I was in a podcast clip that went viral where I was saying that marriages should be done like MBA contracts, where it's like, okay, we got a 4-year deal. Let's you know, check in, then we'll decide if we want to renew, and maybe it makes you try a little bit harder because you know that your contract's coming up. Okay, so this is a clip. This clip goes big on Instagram and it has a lot of comments on it of people making jokes where they're like, oh man, are we allowed to do trade clauses and all this kind of stuff, you know, making funny comments. There's a guy who screen records me saying this on a podcast and then he scrolls down to the comments and you read through the comments and then that's the video. and he didn't tag me or any of the other people in it. So it's like he's getting the content and then he's getting the people commenting on the content, and then that's his content. It's just like five things removed.
I was thinking recently about someone, I can't, probably a lot of people have done this, but I remember, I don't know, 10-ish years ago, someone did an art exhibition which they just printed out other people's Instagram posts, like with their names and everything, and just put them up. Right? This whole attribution, like stealing content kind of thing. And it's,
we gotta wonder, like, if Andy Warhol was around today, would he be like, yep, this is it.
I think so.
Absolutely.
The reaction thing, when I see NSP reaction, almost everybody I've seen react to NSP, they get, I don't know, 10 seconds in, and then they all do the same thing. Okay.
That's going to be everybody, like the blurb on the album, like Pitchfork says.
Here's what I can say. If you know how there's these huge streamers who do a lot of React content, guys like Kai Cenat, Speed, at least these guys are like jumping around and screaming and burning calories and getting sweaty and being crazy. I'm like, at least you're working. You're creating a new thing because you're like doing so much. But if all you're doing is kind of like what you and Layton were saying, we're just like, you know, that's like, that's not really anything.
Someone must have done this where, I mean, it's sort of like the comment thing where it's, you know, that someone who reacts to reaction videos and then a person who reacts to the reaction to the reaction video. And then you just keep iterating and it keeps like, it keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Didn't Jack Spoon, I think, it was Bo Burnham. Okay, got it.
He did it. I'm sure someone else has done it too, but Bo did it in his special Inside where
he did it in that. Okay.
Yeah, it was like some sort of like doing an apology, but then he started reacting to his apology, and then he started reacting to the reaction of his apology.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I still, and this probably makes me a bad comedy musician, I have not seen Inside.
Neither have I. Yeah, no, even though I like
it. I get it.
And I think it's sometimes things get to this point where they're so widely beloved that I feel like I can't watch them.
Or widely beloathed, as seems to be a big contingent, especially in the years since it has come out.
Really? I didn't know that.
I didn't either. There was a big backlash.
Oh, it's the typical, like,
not shocking, I guess.
Rich male white privilege, to complaining about how terrible his life is, which, you know, like, valid, but whatever. I mean, think he's funny.
I think it was like the coolest thing about it is like he did it all by himself, setting up the lights and whatever, which is just like a crazy meticulous work of, you know, compulsion and like he's your obsession. Like I'm just like, wow, that is just impressive to have that much focus to do that over a year, you know?
100%.
But it also smacks of just like, if you don't like the guy, just say that you don't like him. We don't need to come up with the whole thing. Just say you don't like him or think he's funny or that you think he's annoying. Like we don't have to make it a whole thing.
I have a hard time believing takes on the internet because every take is compromised by the fact that they know that if they do a spicy take, that will get engagement, which drives the algorithm, which will then contribute to them getting followers. So I'm just kind of like, do you really even mean this? And maybe you think you mean it, but you've been poisoned by this. You've been internet pill brain.
Well, the moment it becomes a public facing thing, it's poisoned, right? Regardless of what it is. Yeah.
Exact thing last night where Jory sent me a link to.
Jory is a mutual friend of ours.
So okay.
For,
yeah.
For context. Yeah.
You can. Jory's a secret.
Okay. Yes. I don't. Don't contact him.
Our friend's a secret. Yeah. Rolling Stone put out the 100 best TV episodes of all time list. I was like, well, I gotta go see what that top 10 is. And I had to scroll for so long, multiple loading pages. The punchline of number one made me cackle so fucking hard.
Wait, okay. Can we guess it? Can
do you
want to
guess,
it?
In terms of what would make me scream laughing?
I don't know what the punchline was, but I can guess that maybe it's either like Seinfeld or Breaking Bad or something. Or like, what would be the best episode?
MASH finale, the MASH series finale. Maybe people talk about that a lot.
Or what if it's, there's no way something this new would be it. But or it could be, okay, it's either the episode of Seinfeld where they all have to not masturbate or something, that maybe or I don't think it would be this, but I know this is on the list, that episode of The Bear that's all one shot where it's like, you know, episode six of season one or something.
You were closest at the beginning. It's the Ozymandias episode of Breaking Bad is number one.
Ooh, okay. Which is the Ozymandias episode?
It's that's the one where all the shit hits the fan at the end.
Where they're in the desert and he kills them, right? That stuff.
Yes.
Isn't that Ozymandias? Skyland. Yeah.
Yes.
It's the one where he finds out Hank died on the phone.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the whole thing of hang tight. Spoilers for Breaking Bad. If you're listening to the show and I somehow have,
I feel like I should set my mic up like how you guys have it, but I'm also scared of fucking up the mic.
I think it's where it is.
Look, we've gotten comments when people have been like, really bothers me how the girl isn't even talking into the microphone correctly.
Okay.
What?
Wow, that just sounds
I'm trying to point to Brian's mic, which isn't the exact same configuration.
Well, I really want a hand to come in from this side. Can't do it. That's
oh my God. If we could pull off that,
that gag,
we get like fake hands that we can control? That would be great. Anyway, but I love Breaking Bad. I've rewatched it an unhealthy, disgusting amount of times. But that being the number one is so funny to me. Anyway, but going through the top 10 of that list, like number three is an episode of The Leftovers. There's an ER episode in the top 20.
ER episode?
Yeah. Wow. But in reading it, it was like, well, I can't take this seriously. I know this is rage bait. Like,
yes.
Number two had the decency to be Simpsons' Last Exit to Springfield, which is a real basic bitch pick, but it deserves that spot in terms of like, what is television? That is kind of it, but...
You know, I mean, they definitely want to do spicy takes that will make people be like, what the hell? You know, and they'll share it with that. You know, and I almost feel, tell me how you guys feel, like what you said, Brian, I think is so true of like, as soon as it's public, it's compromised, it's poisoned. So then when you see altruism on the internet, like let's say something terrible is happening in the world, and I post about it, is that good? Is that bad? Is that anything? Is it good and compromised, you know?
And I must prove I am a good person.
I think that's exactly the right way to say it. It is good and compromised because there is always an element of it. Yeah, I think a lot about Prince when I think about this stuff. Like apparently Prince, as a Jehovah's Witness, you know, was just doing all this like charitable stuff in the background, didn't tell anybody about it while he was alive. He's just doing all this good and just taking no credit for it. And it's not a public thing. He doesn't want recognition. He's just doing it. Then he dies and it comes out he's been doing this incredible charitable work his whole life. That's the pure version, right? Is you're just doing good shit and you're not telling anybody about it. You're just doing it. Well, and there it is. You're not trading it for points.
It's that little question when you do a GoFundMe, show my name or not, you know?
Yep.
And you have to decide right then to be Prince or not. And I've done both, you know? I've done both.
Yeah.
Part of me that's like, I want them to know I'm helping. There have been other ones where it's just like, I don't even know this person, whatever.
No, totally. 100%. Yeah, I think about this a lot. Yeah.
There's this intersection. It's funny because of what my lemon was going to be, which we might not do segments this episode just because we're on a mild time crunch. But like this reaction video plus, is this a genuine expression or is this completely compromised, comes together into what my lemon was going to be, which is the cottage industry of like commentary channels that are almost exclusively like gossip rags, where somebody's whole bit,
like, Yeah.
Is like the downfall of so-and-so. And then it's just somebody being like so excited. So like, here's every single thing that they've done wrong. And then they'll be like, they were racist one time. And one time they sent out an order product that like some people didn't get it delivered. Also, they killed a man. Also, they got sponsored by BetterHelp. Like,
also,
the whole thing,
they were friends with this guy who was friends with the guy who got sexual assault charges. And then you're like, okay, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I
so
love
it's
the catching
person.
Strays because you were friends yeah. with somebody. What? It's like,
wait, what?
Okay.
They were
they
also following a fire emblem.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Also, follow an account that posts fire emblem fan art of dubiously aged characters. And also committed a murder. Like the way that it's really serious accusations peppered in with a bunch of little things. But the thing that always gets me is it's always this person where it's like your entire channel that has millions of views that you make so much money off of is solely you banking on how much better. Like the implicit thing is I'm better than these people.
100%.
But it's like you're just a fucking gossip. Like that's you're a vulture. Especially okay. if you're pointing at somebody who has, as you're proclaiming, like actual victims, you're just giddily like, okay, besties, here's the tea. Like,
why
would anybody want to be in the same room with you? Like, why would anyone talk to you as a person? Because if this is just how you fundamentally are.
Sorry, is that part of your rant or are you just asking me?
Well, Brian, you need to answer for your crimes.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah. I think. Here's what I wonder about those people, because there's the kind you're saying where it's like this weird documentary style thing and you never see their face. And so you're kind of like, you're also faceless too. So you could just be like some third grade teacher who's like right. doing this on the side. And then there's the people like Keemstar, what H3H3 does. That's basically the mm-hmm. same thing. Are they the same thing to you, Leighton, or is that a different kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm actually more so talking about that second group of people where they really center okay. themselves. I can't think of the names off of the top of my head of some of these channels, but it just, even if the person is like a real reprehensible piece of shit that they're talking about, I fundamentally do not trust you as a creator if the mm-hmm. only thing that you contribute as creative output on this planet is making that type of video. How do you sleep at night?
That's exactly what I was about to say is I feel like if, you know, I don't want to denigrate anyone's work, but that's such creative garbage, right? Yeah. Like do something. If you can muster that kind of support and fandom, do something fucking cool with it. Like take a chance, create something interesting, not just.
I mean, that's why like the guy I mentioned before, Meat Canyon, who makes fun of a lot of YouTube people. He, you know, you could look at his channel and say this is negative, but what you can't say is he is making amazing satire, and it may be your vibe or may not be your vibe, but he's creating
right.
something.
Right.
Yeah. He's creating, he has an artistic point of view that yes. he's commenting on.
Well, and a lot of those big channels too, right? And this is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not a bad thing. It's the staffs of writers and everyone collecting this dirt. So it's important to view it through that lens as well, right? This is something a team has come up with to
create this. This is an industry. This, yeah. Or it's one person and then they went to the specific snark sub for this person and then culled all of the obsessive stalkery work of a bunch of weirdos who are obsessed with this person.
Right.
I mean, at this point, maybe they're just going on ChatGPT-4 and they're just like, what did... you know, Logan Paul do this week. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Thanks, ChatGPT-4. I was also wondering about this where, okay, so this is a whole thing that I don't even know if you guys know about because this is like deep stand-up podcaster territory. You know how there's like a whole segment of like, it's like Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, Andrew Schultz. Like this is like a whole sphere of stand-up that is related or podcaster that's related to stand-up. There is a whole industry of people who like make it their thing to hate on these people. So they'll make these things like the downfall of Bert Kreischer or like, does Joe Rogan even understand jokes? And they like, they make like a mini documentary And these things are very popular. And the people that they're even commenting on sometimes seem to be niche figures sometimes. And like, I'm just so like, I'm part of me is like, wow, there's so much work that you've done. Like the hate, the research that you have to do to hate like this shows a deep level of obsession too.
Yes.
You
know, like 100%.
You obviously, it's fandom. It's a very, I think about this so frequently because I'm fascinated by this type of person, and similarly like snark groups and the gender divide between like a snark group and a hate group. Two different things. I won't name a particular website here, but you know, the doxing central of the internet, you feel the gender divide really strongly and the type of rhetoric that they use versus something like, you know, snark subs for fundamentalist families or makeup influencers on Reddit. Like there's a very different, and it's these people who are like, I fucking hate this person. This is a horrible person. But on the like snark side, it's usually woke lefty women who have found a loophole where they get to be misogynistic, fatphobic, classist as fuck under the veil of I'm doing the right thing. And it's like, this is bullying. Yes. You're doing stalking and bullying, and you have found a way to feel good about yourself, and you're in so deep that this is a hobby to you. This is a community to you. You are a bigger fan of these people than people who genuinely like them. Mm-hmm. And so I find that very interesting, because I do believe that every human has a deep innate need for recreational hatred. Some people get more intense about it than others.
They're almost like let's say you work for a news outlet like the Washington Post, and you are assigned to be like the White House press secretary to cover Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Depending on the political leaning of the organization you work for, you are a little bit of a gossip columnist for the president, right?
Oh,
you're
sure.
Like, let's see what he did today, you know?
Walking around the WAPO TMZ office with a big iced coffee, like, hey, what's going on? Was there a nip slip today?
I heard whisperings of XYZ, you know? It's like a higher version of gossip columnist, you know?
What's the movie that has Will Arnett and Eric Andre doing that TMZ
and Mike Birbiglia? Yes. It's at the very end of the movie.
It's a slight Chelsea Peretti's in there too. It's a slight runner. I Love You Man? No.
It maybe is. Did you ever see that Seth Rogen movie about him being with Charlize Theron and Charlize Theron is running for president? Or she's like vice president or something.
No, I don't think it's that one though, because I've definitely seen it, and I've seen it a couple times.
The long
is
shot.
What you're talking about in Pop Star Never Stop Never Stop.
That's exactly what it is.
Honestly, I like that movie a lot, and it is funny.
Those
scenes are the funniest to me for some reason. I don't know why, but something about them laughing and having the huge...
And they're like falling over with the coffee. Yes. And that it's like all these like really great comics in that one scene. I really... Yeah.
Will Arnett? Will Arnett's the one playing the guy doing the... Right?
Yes. Yeah. And then I think in the front, I remember it's Eric Andre and Chelsea Peretti and then Mike Birbiglia in the front. And I think Mike Birbiglia is wearing a wig, like a blonde wig too. I could be wrong about that.
And Eric Andre has like big dreadlocks, I think.
Yes, that's right.
Binyam, I was interrupting you when you were talking about the other thing that isn't pop star.
Oh, it was just
the Seth Rogen one.
It's called The Long Shot, and I think it was like like a double entendre because she's a long shot to win, but it's also like, why would this established Charlize Theron woman running for president or whatever date this guy like Seth Rogen, who's like not anything? It's a pretty good movie, but I think it also marked kind of like, oh, we're not gonna do comedies in theaters unless it also is Jumanji. You know, like that was kind of that was like one of those where it's like, this kind of movie used to be huge, romantic comedy, two big stars, and then I think it just did fine, and then they were like, all right, we're doing TV now.
That's right.
Movies.
We're no more of this. I do want to, before we go any further, I want to introduce the show, because this is Late Night with Brian Wecht. My name is Brian Wecht. Over here, across from me, we have Leighton Gray.
Hi, I'm Leighton Gray. I'm peak YouTube drama correspondent for this show. Mystery guest, who are you?
Well, I've been. It's just been a silhouette this whole time, right?
That's
I'm
right.
Like
yeah,
a
yeah.
Super special.
Your voice has been changed.
Face reveal now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My name is Biniam Bazuna. I am a comedian and writer, and I've been in 4 or 5 Ninja Sex Party videos.
That's right. Over the last 10 years or more. Maybe
okay.
Even.
And okay, so I was going to tell this, but I decided to save it for the pod. So Brian had asked me to be on the podcast a while ago, and I think I was busy doing something and I forgot. And then I got reminded.
I think it might
of
be on me
again,
too.
Brian.
I think I was supposed to follow up with you and I forgot. So don't.
And then we, yeah.
It might be on me. Or we, it just fell okay. off the map for whatever reason. Yeah.
It fell off the map. It was COVID times, you know.
Yeah.
But so recently someone was like, I've been on a whole like Instagram, TikTok kick of like going back and editing my old videos to make them vertical and doing releasing things. And someone was like, you know, YouTube Shorts is like being really promoted right now. You should upload some stuff to Shorts. So I took this, I made this Comedy Central digital series that's all vertical a while back. And I just put up one of the things on Shorts because it's vertical. And it was a series where I teach people in a scripted format, but I make it look unscripted. Like it's just on some guy's Instagram story that I am, it's called How to Be Broke. And
it's
like,
really good, dude. It's really funny.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's all these ways to save money, but all of his advice is extremely unethical. And he's like, but he's kind of like a sociopath. And he's kind of like, yeah, you can just do this. And the guy behind the camera is my friend. And he's kind of like the voice of reason, like, nigga, don't do that. What are you doing? You know? And so in this one, I'm teaching people how to get a free car. And what I say is that if you call a locksmith to unlock your car, they don't check to make sure it's your car before they unlock it for you, which is a real thing I have experienced several times. I think some locksmiths check, some in LA are just like trying to get their $100.
Get the money in there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so in this one, we unlock this car and then we're like, oh, we don't have the keys. And then we're trying to hotwire it and it's not working. And then the owner of the car is walking up. And so we're like, oh shit. And we get in the back of the car and then we're being driven in the car and we go into this garage and you see these books and you see a Lamborghini. And then you see that it's that guy, Ty Lopez, going, hey, if you want to earn, you got to learn first. And he's pointing at the books. And this guy was like the major meme of like 2015, 2016. Just through a random coincidence, I happened to get him to cameo in this video. So this video goes super viral on Shorts. Now it has like maybe 3 million views.
Is
and the
really?
Reason
Fuck.
Why it goes,
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. The reason it goes viral, these are the top 2 comments on it. They are, oh my God, is that Ty Lopez, the Lamborghini knowledge guy? And then 2 is, oh shit, are they listening to NSP in the car? Because when I made that video, I asked Danny if I could use a song and he let me use Danny Don't You Know as what's being played on the radio in the car. And all these people are such fans of you guys that that is like the second most commented thing. Like,
that's awesome.
Oh shit, that's Danny, don't you know? And I like was impressed. I was like, all these random people who are just coming across this video, no NSP.
That's awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we, I mean, so you just for, you mentioned it before, but you, the reason we met is because you knew Danny from Maker.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
When you worked there with him and Vernon and a bunch of other people who,
Aaron Umatani,
like, right.
Aaron Umatani, but also, did you know
Aaron Schmalfeld?
The other Aaron Schmalfeld. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Yeah. And we were just this pod of us four. It was like me, Danny, Vernon, Aaron Schmalfeld. And this was before Danny got Game Grumps. I remember all the drama happening.
Yeah.
I remember John Tron leaving and then Danny getting this like call. And then it was like, at the time because I understood YouTube. I was like, dude, this is like you getting called to be the host of the Tonight Show, but for YouTube in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, this is a big deal. And I remember, you know, you guys were making your NSP videos and you had your audience, you had maybe like 30,000, 40,000 subscribers.
Yep,
and I remember seeing you guys like explode and going from now you're playing like the Wiltern and stuff. And it was so cool
to
see all that happen, you know?
Yeah. No, it was great. I remember summer of 2013. I think it was June 2013.
How fast was it from that? Like, was it a direct, like, Danny gets on Game Grumps, now Ninja Sex Party gets huge, or did it take, like, how did it all, was it completely related, or was it kind of, they're separate things?
It was, I mean, definitely, you know, I owe the reason I am sitting in Los Angeles today is 100% because of Game Grumps. I mean, maybe 99.9, but yeah, like, if he hadn't joined Game Grumps, I can't imagine we would be a thing even still. So it was like this, we could see the views, like, you know, blow up the minute he did that. Mm-hmm. But what was weird about NSP is, so he joined, we put out our second album March of that year of 2013. I just threw my pen across.
Yeah.
And then he joined Grumps. And so there was a period. Then we put out that first Starbomb album in 2013,
yes,
right? In December 2013. And then that was the first, like, oh shit, this might, like, actually be a thing.
Yeah.
And then had a second Starbomb album the next year, within a year.
Yeah.
And so there was a period of time where we were like, okay, NSP is like kind of the passion project. Nobody really cares about it. It's like, you know, it doesn't make money. Starbomb, like, people buy shit for. And then during this little period, Aaron offers me a job at Game Grumps. I quit my professor job in England. I move out here. And so I remember this very clearly. I moved out. We flew out with a 1 year old in July 1st, 2015. Mm-hmm. And the third NSP album, Attitude City, came out 2 weeks later. And
yes,
it was the first. So I flew out. I'd given my notice basically at the university, and they were like, the moment you know you're not, they gave me a year to, like, decide to come back or not, if I wanted, mm-hmm, you know, like, as a, okay, if this doesn't work out, you can come back. They're like, but yeah, the moment you know, for grant writing purposes, just tell us. And so I move out here. 2 weeks later, this third NSP album comes out, and it's, like, on top of the comedy charts, it's doing really well, all this stuff. And I was like, oh,
I remember,
shit.
I feel like you guys, like, beat somebody crazy, like, you were in front of Don Glover or something, or you're in front of, like,
something, Bo Burnham.
It was like something crazy where I was like, whoa. Yeah,
I think there was a period where, like, us and Bo Burnham, maybe, what, were, like, kind of flopping, yeah, back and forth.
Yes,
right.
I'm pretty sure that was it, because in 2015 I had just graduated high school. I was really flopping into that.
Yeah. But then within a month of that, I wrote the university. I was like, guys, I'm not coming back. Like, this is actually happening. I'm out here for,
dude,
the long haul.
I thought that it was so cool because I had so many conversations with Danny about, you know, chasing after the dream. And, you know, you guys have been doing the band for, like, 4 years, right? Just,
yeah, that's right. 4 years.
Yeah. And, you know, these music videos you guys were making were, like, very intensive. There were, like, I don't know how you would,
oh, yeah,
if you shot list them or whatever, but, like, I would watch, oh, yeah, them and I'd be like, oh, this is very intricate. There is a lot, yep, that went into this. And so to see, like, to know that you guys were like, hey, we're just going to do this, and if it works, whatever, but if not, like, we're still going to do it. And then it did work, was so cool and very inspirational to me. I thought,
oh,
it was,
thanks,
so sick. Yeah.
Yeah. We always, you know, that was the mission statement from the start, was like, write good music. And, you know, our technical ability started out pretty minimal, but then grew, and make well thought out,
dude,
videos. And same thing, like, I, our mean, technical ability grew as we went on, but we were in it to do it and do a good job with it from the beginning. And there was definitely, you know, we were pretty deep in the red for a long time.
I mean, to me, because, you know, on your first album or two, I'm not sure, was Attitude City third album?
Third, yeah.
Third album. You maybe you had some serious songs on those ones, or maybe it was, but it seemed to, in my recollection, it was more jokes. But then when I heard Danny, Don't You Know, I was like, oh, this is just like an earnest banger. And it was,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's still my favorite song, because I was,
oh,
like,
thanks,
you don't even need to, like, know what NSP is or get the joke or anything to get this song. It's just,
right,
about being insecure and how, like, you will,
yeah,
learn as you grow older. And yeah, that song's,
yeah,
just,
and that one,
great.
I mean, the reason, well, so we met our now producer and full songwriting collaborator, Jim Roach, and he saw us exactly at that inflection point where it's like, you guys have something, but you really don't know what you're doing. And which is was very true. It's like, you know, we could write funny songs, but from a like producing music perspective, I don't know that shit. And and then he came in and we wrote, once we started working with him, we wrote that one too. And it was like getting that third guy in the mix who was like also really funny, also a great musician, also a great producer. Like that's what, then it kind of clicked into overdrive.
What's the name really of the guy? He was like your
Dan Avidan.
No. Is his name something Phil Spector? He was your Phil Spector?
Yeah, exactly. I think of him as our Phil Spector, a really good guy, really talented, never done anything uncool. Yeah.
like right. Just a great guy in all respects.
Yeah, that's right. I've got full
Jim would totally
indoors.
Love it if you just start calling him Phil Spector all the
great
time.
Hair because too. I keep dropping
because it's like. Yeah. That guy, if I'm remembering correctly, he invented all these production techniques, right? Like the wall of sound, this stuff. And then he went on to do other works, which are not so great.
Less good.
I
was a huge fan of his, and then I found out he's also a music producer.
That's so funny. I didn't really know too much about him until I watched that Beatles documentary. And then I went into Beatles like lore. And then I was like, oh, I think I kind of was like that. I think I knew him as a murderer. I didn't know that he was also, I first knew of him. I was like, oh, Phil Spector. That's that guy that was on trial for murder and stuff. Killed his
wife. Well, cause there's a famous picture of him with the crazy hair and cord, right? Yeah.
And I was like, he did, you know.
Yeah. For people of a certain age, I guess it's similar with OJ of just like, I was about to people.
I did not even like, it was like two things removed. Like I was like, oh, OJ's the murderer. And then I was like, oh, I guess he was a football player. And then I was like, oh, he was an actor too. Like I didn't know that he even.
Dude, my journey with OJ, because I'm not like a sports guy at all. To me, OJ was that guy from Police Squad and the Naked Gun. And I knew he was like, you know, a famous football player, but I didn't really, you know, I didn't know anything about it. And so when all that stuff went down, I still thought of him primarily as, oh, the guy from Naked Gun.
Well, you know, I have to imagine that to a lot of people of a certain age, people like Dave Bautista and The Rock are just actors and they didn't 100%. Really know they were like wrestlers.
John Cena.
Anything. John That's Cena, right, too. Yeah. They're like, oh, I love that guy from Trainwreck or whatever.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Can I maybe an unpopular? I think Trainwreck's a good movie. I'm not like a big movie comedy person. I think Trainwreck is funny, and
I agree
it's
with
not
you.
Not just because I'm incredibly thirsty for Bill Hader.
Yeah,
I mean, and a LeBron acting debut, very good,
and he's good.
And it ends in this classic comedy way that they kind of stopped doing, which is a dance number. Which I was like, bring it back. We're not here for realism. Let it end with a dance number. That's a fun. We're here to feel good. You know? Yeah,
totally. I went to see, and I think I talked about this on the show, they had a screening for the 50th anniversary of Blazing Saddles. At the, where was it? Somewhere by the Staples Center, one of those venues over there. Mm-hmm. And again, ends with like, it sort of ends with a dance number, but then it kind of spills over into that whole, like, you know, studio chase kind of fight scene. And it's like, nobody ends things like this anymore.
I feel like we got to bring back the dance number. I feel like they should have ended like, I don't know, like Whiplash with the dance number. Just bring everybody on stage.
That's right.
They're already on stage. So why not? You know,
just bring, go for that last shot. Of the eyes, and they all come dancing up. Paul Reiser comes dancing out. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, movies improved by ending with a dance number. I will first nominate Seven.
Ooh, that would be great. He's got the box dancing with it.
Yeah, and it's like a bunch of backup dancers, like,
and
doing
then the head
shit
starts
with
singing
the box.
In the box.
Yeah. The head in the box. He turns it. It's singing in there.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
You know what else would be improved by a dance number? I would love. To see, what if they did like Goodfellas and all the people who get killed throughout the movie come back, but they still have like wounds, like, you know, and they're dancing
like
as dead dead mobsters.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
That's really, really great. I mean, I would like take a Godfather lot. Dance number.
Ooh,
for sure.
That'd be great.
And then there's like a horse.
Godfather 3 should have been
the horse is there. Yes. The horse, but it like has it been bandaged up or stitched up? It's like a stitched up horse.
It's fine.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Maybe they're holding Zodiac. The horse's head and singing.
They've got those like the toys for kids where it's like a horse head with a pole and they're all like
yeah.
Poltergeist. They're making it sing. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, a horror movie dance number would be cool.
Right, then all the corpses come out of the pool at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they all kind of they dance.
And the little
out.
Girl can like crawl out of the TV and break dance.
Oh. Yeah. I have to say I just saw this and it kind of blew my mind. I saw it in a theater. Alien Romulus. Amazing. Have you guys seen it?
Really? I've not
I
seen it.
I loved it. It's okay, the most cool. fun I've had at a movie theater in a really long time. It feels like it goes back to what you love about the original two of just like, we're on a ship. It's very desolate. Something fucked up has happened here. We don't know what exactly. And we're kind of just investigating. It feels kind of like the horror video games that have become very popular are kind of that format too. Like, we're in this place where something fucked up has happened. I'm walking through it. It's quiet. It goes back to that with a very good, like, character story behind it and just knocks it out of the park. The guy who directed it is this guy, Fede Alvarez, who also did that movie, Don't Breathe. Which I love that movie too. And he brings that same ability. Yeah.
Did you see the sequel where the old guy is the good guy?
I did not see Don't Breathe 2 because I was kind of like, what? There's another one? I couldn't really wrap my head around. It felt like I liked that one, you know?
Yeah, it's like we're rooting for Turkey Baster Man. Okay. But no, I loved Don't Breathe.
Did he direct Don't Breathe 2? I'm looking right now.
I don't know.
I don't think there's any.
I'd be surprised.
No, it wasn't. He co-wrote it, though. He co-wrote it, but he didn't direct it.
Mm-hmm. This is a note that I wrote down like 40 minutes ago, and now I don't even remember what prompted me to write this down. But I'm curious about books and or movies that you saw as children, like in terms of this was assigned to you or you were like on a bus to a field trip and it was shown to you, that are just like, why the fuck did they show us this? If you can think of any.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. This one wasn't shown to be by adults, but I was young. I think I was 11 and I went to my mom's best friend's house who lived in Minnesota. And she had a daughter who was like 13 or 14. And she was like, let's watch American Pie. So I was like, okay. And this is before I know anything about sex. So I don't know what ejaculation is. I don't know anything. This is before, like, so I'm watching it and there is that scene where like that movie would be, that would be a funny rewatch. Cause I bet there's so much stuff in there where you're like, yo, this is basically rape or something. You know, there's probably a lot of stuff like that in that movie.
For sure.
But this scene where Jason Biggs as Jim is on the bed.
Jim Halpert.
And he has the foreign exchange student Nadia, and they are secretly live streaming her and this sexual experience.
Right. Yes.
She comes over to the bed and she's reaching for his crotch area, and he is like going like, and I didn't know what that was supposed to mean. So I was looking over at my mom's friend. I was like, does he have to pee? Like, why is he doing that? And she was just laughing and she didn't explain. And then that is burned in my memory. Cause like later I saw, like not too long after I saw, Something About Mary. And there's that scene where before the date, he jacks off, but he gets some of it in his hair and then it makes his hair like this. Or no, he puts it in her hair. It's like hanging on him. And like, I was just like, first of all, the consistency of that is wild. I don't know who's, it was like
track
frosting.
For me. I mean, it seemed like,
I was like, this is Ben Stiller was dehydrated in that movie. But then I remember telling friends at school in like fifth, sixth grade, cause I saw that movie. We were talking about like jacking off. And then I was like, Well, it's something you do before a date. I remember telling them that as as if I understood because I saw that movie.
Pro tip.
And they were all like, cool, yeah, cool, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course you do. I remember, it's not quite being shown something. I think I've talked about this on the show. In fact, I'm sure I have. My parents took me and my sister is 2 years younger, when I was 11 and she was 9, George Carlin live. A live George Carlin show. Because they knew I liked comedy and stand-up, and George Carlin was funny.
It explains so much about you, right?
Yeah.
This
How old were you?
I was 11.
You're 11,
so,
okay.
So kind of the same age you're talking about here.
Yeah.
And it was a live show at a local community college, and he was just doing a tour, and he was coming through North Jersey. And in retrospect, I mean, I just remember seeing the show and thinking, that's really funny. Also, I don't understand most of it. And talking to my parents years later, they were like, yeah, that, I don't think that was the best choice as a parent. But they would do this. My dad picked me up early from school when I was 9 to go see Beverly Hills Cop. Like, pulled me out of school early just because he's like, this movie looks really funny. We got to go see it.
Yeah.
So they
just has like action. It's not really that. Bad.
There's like a strip club scene. No, it's really not that bad. And it's like, actually just rewatched it because I watched all, well, I didn't watch 3, but I watched the first 2 and the new one of Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
That movie's still fucking great. It's like,
it holds up.
He's never better than in that movie. It is the best, like, primetime Eddie Murphy.
Okay. My argument, and this may be because I'm biased because I had this on VHS, is that Eddie Murphy's resurgence with Nutty Professor 1 might be his best performance of all time.
I've never seen Nutty Professor? You know what? Actually, I have, but it was a long time ago. It's been a long time.
And I saw Nutty Professor before I saw Coming to America and Trading Places and Beverly Hills Cop. So it was like already something I loved. But the fact that he was playing like 6 roles and he's amazing in all of them. And he's so, and it's Chappelle's first movie too, playing the Def Jam comedian. I know that movie beat for beat, and I think Eddie Murphy was robbed of a Golden Globe because he literally was playing like 7 different roles.
Yeah,
and he was great. And have you seen it lately?
No, I've never.
Was that pre or post Shrek?
This is pre Shrek.
So this is like what sets him up as I can do a family movie guy. Right.
And I will say that, yes, it was like The Nutty Professor is like one of his, he did a couple movies after this that weren't exactly family friendly. Like he did like Pluto Nash and he did like something else that in the same realm. Eddie Murphy doing Nutty Professor and Nutty Professor 2 was kind of like his last like super R-rated type stuff. And then he was like,
was that
I'm a family
R-rated?
Man. Yes.
I guess it was already because he becomes like a sex maniac when he's Buddy Love, right?
It might be PG-13. It might be PG-13, but it definitely was for adults. There's a lot of adult stuff happening in it that I learned. Which goes back to Leighton's question. That was one of the movies I saw when I was young too that taught me about some stuff I definitely didn't know. Like I remember, okay, so in the scene, this is Chappelle's like, it's not maybe his first movie, but it's like his biggest movie ever. It's like Eddie Murphy putting Chappelle in a movie. Chappelle plays this comedian named Reggie Warrington, who's kind of like an insult Def Jam style comic. And he comes out on stage and his whole thing is that he roasts everybody in the crowd. And him and Eddie Murphy as the Nutty Professor in his like big fat version of himself, he's saying all these crazy things about him. He's like, your mama's bell size is equator. I fucked your mama and then I rolled over. I was still on a bitch. Like all these things that I learned as an 11-year-old that I didn't fully even understand, but I memorized all of the roasts. She got to put a belt on with a boomerang. You know, like there were all these bad jokes. They were so funny. And I would say them to people at school. You know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Amazing.
What was stuff
I'm sure they
for
crushed.
Like, did I? Everybody, I'm trying to no think of stuff like that I memorized, you know, from a movie and said at school. Because we all have that
yeah,
stuff.
Were you a Steve Martin the jerk guy? I know a lot of people memorize the jerk.
Not really. I liked Steve Martin. Actually, you know, it's funny. I wrote down before when we were talking about stuff I saw too early, and I loved All of Me. Have you seen that? It's him and Lily Tomlin. And Lily Tomlin is she like dies and possesses half of Steve Martin. And so it's this crazy thing. It's like an incredible comedic performance, but I haven't seen it in years. I have no idea if it holds up. It's incredible comedic performance because he's in charge of like, I forget, but like the left half of his body, and she's in charge of the right half. And so like,
now that you're saying this, I think I've seen the front cover. Is there some sort of thing happening? Like one side's smiling, one side's like...
It's been so long because I couldn't even tell you. But I remember at one point, he's like... his girlfriend, wife, whatever, is mad at him, and as an insult she goes, well, I faked all those orgasms, and ooh, he says, I faked mine too, which
great joke.
Great joke. I remember pulling out the dictionary and looking up the word orgasm like in our living room, pulling out, you know, the fucking World Book dictionary, whatever it was, you know, whatever dictionary we had, and looking up the word orgasm and being like, what? And really not, you know, and it gives a bit, you know, the, like, the climax of sexual experience or whatever. And being like, okay.
Okay.
Like, you know, not understanding it.
Okay. I got to tell you guys something. So I knew very little about what an orgasm was. I only knew of it from those two things that we had watched, which was American Pie and Something About Mary. Okay.
Wow.
So I knew that there was a substance that could come out, but I didn't know when or how exactly it happened. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I had, this is around the beginning, not the beginning of the internet, but like, it was kind of like the internet was AOL. So I didn't really know that there was like a bar you could put in like www.com. I would just have to like navigate to something through using whatever navigational buttons were already on the AOL thing. And I found a way to navigate to this body art website. Okay. And this website would be, I don't know if you guys know where this is going. Body art, but it's just people, like, it's like naked people who, a thing is painted on them. And that was
and
my way.
And sometimes there's like some contortion a little bit. Yeah. I know exactly what you're
talking about. But like, they're just fully naked. Their boobs are out. It was my way. Yep. And I'm at this age where I'm like, I know I want to look at this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I know I just like looking at it. And there was this picture of a woman who had like her entire back painted, and she's like on her knees on a bed. So you're seeing her butt from this angle. And I would just come and look at this picture. And then one day I started to feel something bubbling below. And I was like, I don't know what this is. I thought maybe I had to pee. I run to the bathroom and it comes out into the toilet and I go, yeah! Because I was like, I did it! Like, I didn't touch it at all. It just did it the first time. And I did like a Mario type of like, you know when Mario would get a ring in like, what's that? It was, I was playing a game around that time and I think I was Sunshine. You remember Sunshine?
Yeah, of course.
He would win the level and he'd be like, yeah, I did one of those.
That's fucking awesome. So you came into a toilet for the first time.
Standing up without touching it. Just by looking at this body art woman on a bed.
Incredible. Yeah.
Do you remember what the body art on the woman was? Like, did that give you a complex?
It almost, I don't know if it gave me a, maybe, because I'm definitely like a butt guy. So it's possibly that this led to that. But I think it's like, is it a chicken and egg? Was I already a butt guy? And that's why that made me have that reaction to it.
I think if you're a butt guy, you're born a butt guy person.
Exactly.
I think that's just an innate character trait. Yeah.
I think I was born that way. And it gets better. You know, and
it gets butter.
I think it was some sort of like, okay, do you remember when there would be guys that would wear these shirts that were like very, it's like alternative, like Avenged Sevenfold type, like fucking some type of like, it reminds me of the 2000s and guys wearing shirts where it's like one shirt, but there's like a short sleeve and then there's a connected longer sleeve.
Oh yeah.
You remember these kind of shirts? And they would have some type of like design on it. It would look like that on her back.
Like an Ed Hardy type.
Yes. Very Ed Hardy looking type of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I definitely do not seek that out. But if it was around, I'd be like, okay, you know, take us back.
I mean, the obvious experiment now is to find that same picture.
Oh yeah. Man. Right.
And then see what happens.
See if it does. Just be like, no hands, mom.
No hands, baby. Yeah.
I can go no hands.
I wanted to say what my answer to this, what sparked this question from me,
yes,
is
please.
That mm-hmm. I was on a, you know, in the quote unquote gifted and talented class, which there's no way that it's still called that, even though it was called that through my whole school tenure in middle mm-hmm. school. If you
I can
were in
tell
that
you,
class.
I can tell you what it's called now at Audrey School.
What's it called?
It's the School of Advanced Studies.
Whoa. That sounds like a mm-hmm. master's degree.
I know.
Right? How old is she?
She's in fifth grade. This is like a program at LA schools, LA USD, where it's like the advanced kids or whatever. Anyway, please continue.
Yeah, for a while mine was SAGE, which was an acronym for something, and I don't remember what it was. Anyway, but the gifted class every year would get to go on a field trip to somewhere. So like one year it was to Atlanta to go see like CNN headquarters and go to the Koch Museum or whatever.
And this is from North Carolina for context.
Yeah. And so this particular year we were going to Washington, D.C. So we had one of the big buses. It wasn't necessarily a school bus. It was like a slightly nicer one that had the TVs.
That was there on January 6th a few years back.
Jesus Christ. So it had the little, you know, it had a DVD player and it had little screens. And so there were parent chaperones on the trip. And there was only like a limited range of movies that could have gotten approved to show. And we got to pick between Finding Nemo on DVD or Fireproof on DVD. Have either of you heard of or seen Fireproof?
No.
Okay.
I'm thinking
Don't
of
Google it.
Wait, am I thinking of Backdraft?
You're thinking of Backdraft.
Okay.
But there, so two movies obviously were like 12, and so nobody wants to watch Finding Nemo. And it was one of the moms being like, well, you know what? We're going to watch Fireproof. Fireproof is a pure flicks type movie about a firefighter with a pornography addiction. Who's ruining his marriage with his pornography addiction. And then like,
wait, how old are you at this point?
I'm like 12.
Hilarious.
Why?
Is it like magazines rules. Or what is he addicted to?
No. It's amazing because they show him on his like big chunky desktop in the middle of the night in like his white tank top, like looking over his shoulder, and he's looking at pictures of boats online, and then there are pop-up ads of women like, do you want to see more? And he's like sitting there sweating over this like woman in a bikini on a pop-up on a boat website. And like, this is the full extent. It never shows him looking at hardcore porn. It doesn't show him jerking off. It's just him being tempted by like yacht website sidebar ads. And it becomes a whole thing with his wife. Like his wife is going to leave him because he won't stop giving into the temptation. And Fireproof, the logo of the movie, the two O's are wedding rings interconnected. But there's a scene in the movie where he gets fed up with his porn addiction and he like takes his desktop and takes it outside and like beats it with a bat. Anyway,
that is so
beats it
funny.
Off with a bat.
Wait, do you it's remember like this... when you were watching it, what was your conception of what he was addicted to? Like, did you know what porn was? And you were like, oh. Like,
oh, totally. Yeah. Like... Yeah. Okay. But it was like, wait a second, this really prudish Christian mom chose a Christian movie, but the Christian movie is about jerking off.
That's amazing.
Because how is that better? Was the message at the end that he got rid of it and then his wife was happy and their marriage was good? And...
Yeah, because he found God.
Incredible.
So, I love Fireproof. It will live in my brain forever. But just the fact that it was, I think there was some other movie that was on the list that was like a normal, appropriate kids movie that this particular mom had vetoed for being inappropriate. So it's like, we can have a movie about porn and jerking off as long as that it's about how God will save you.
I was going to say that movie and the plot of it reminds me, I wonder if either of you have seen this movie. It's called Don Juan. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt's directorial debut that he also stars in. So it's a movie. It was like his passion project about being addicted to porn. And it's this guy who's like, man, sometimes porn's even better than the real thing. I like it because in the porn, you can make him do what you want and type shit. And he's like, he's got this accent and I kind of was baffled by it because it's not like the worst movie ever, but it's also just like, this is what he was like, nah, this will be my first thing. You know, and maybe he was trying to shake what people thought of him. I don't know. But it just like goes so against his like vibe of like, I'm the hit record guy. Let's have a network of, you know.
Well, unpaid, uncredited laborer.
You know what? This is the move for Keenan. Is to do this kind of movie about a guy. So, okay, it's about a guy who's addicted to AI porn.
Ooh,
because he can make it do whatever he wants.
So
it's kind of maybe it's a satire on AI and the future of AI. And, you know, at the end, he meets a real life person and they kind of hit it off or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? It's like this more, but it's very serious.
And he burns his laptop just
her?
Like.
Yeah,
well, no,
and he burns his laptop. Yeah,
he burns his laptop just like in, what's the movie called, Crossfire?
Fireproof.
Is that starring a double
Kirk
meaning
Cameron.
In some way?
Yeah, because the bonds of marriage
so
are
hot.
Fireproof, and he's a firefighter.
You can't burn down this marriage.
He takes his VR goggles, his VR set outside.
Should we do real fast our recs or things we like or whatever? Like when there's some things.
Yeah, you know what? Real quick, if we got 3 minutes, we're going to do the fastest What's Poppin' Ever. That's the name of the segment. It's called What's Poppin'.
Okay.
Yes, what?
What if we do a rapid round lemon peach poppin' in quick succession? We each go and we go through all of them.
All right, fast though. Fast.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get one pop culture, one complaint, one good thing. This is the only time we've ever done this, and I'm very excited for it.
What's poppin'?
All right, go.
I'll go first. For the pop culture, I'm going to say what I said earlier. Alien Romulus, I think go see it. See it on the biggest screen possible. See it in IMAX or 4DX. I'm about to go see it in 4DX again because I just want to feel everything moving. I want and I want to get – I think it might do some puffs at your face. I just want to see if the technology has improved since
tongues
the last time.
Flying out of the screen,
They used to have smells in 4DX.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they decided against – They were like, what really is aliens going to smell? That's probably not going to be a great smell. So I think they got rid of it. But so that is good. Thing I'm annoyed by is this is a complaint I've heard too many people say. Okay, here's one that's strictly a me complaint. I think airports and all of it is terrible. Everyone feels that way, but I have a solution for it. I think, and this is another business plan, just like my Kenan Thompson movie, I think I want to invent a business called Teleport where you take a sedative in your own bed with your bags packed and then you wake up in your location.
That's a great idea.
And I think like, and some people come and they transport your unconscious body to wherever they put you on a plane, on a stretcher or something. And then they put your body into the hotel in Hawaii and then you wake up with your bags and you're like, oh, I don't even remember traveling. Like,
this is a horror movie.
No, that's Stephen King's The Jaunt.
The Jaunt. Ending. It's similar, yeah.
What is The Jaunt? I don't know it.
Oh, you should read it. It's like, it's Stephen King's short story that is about that exact thing, but scary.
Okay, I am looking it up, and no one has made that as a movie, have they?
I think someone optioned it, or for a TV series or something. I remember reading
it
when we talked about it.
It wouldn't work as a movie. We're being really bad at efficiency. Yeah.
Lemon. Okay, and then I got to say a thing that's good. I would say that something good right now, which I am thinking of in the moment, which is why I'm stalling, is, okay, I'm just going to say this, and it's, I don't care if it makes you sound bougie. I got an assistant recently, and why it's changed my life is because I admitted what my weaknesses were that I needed help with, instead of trying to be like, well, my brain just should be able to do things like other people. I was like, I can't really do this. And I was like, you know what? It is worth me giving up this money so that I can just be efficient and not have to do the things my brain can't do.
100%.
And that is more the thing that's good. It is realizing whatever you can't do and then getting help for it and then being like, I'm just not going to try to do that.
We through NSP have had an assistant for a while now, and it is like such a game changer. Like it and it is exactly the, hey, I have someone to outsource the shit I'm bad at too.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great move.
Hell yeah.
What's popping for me? I don't know. Why did I go back and rewatch My Cousin Vinny? I don't know, but it's fucking great. It's a very funny movie, 1992. It's, you know, it's a classic for a reason.
I've heard the accents, but I've never seen it.
It is like such a well done. I mean, it's tight. It's funny. Great acting. Famously, Marissa Tomei won an Oscar for it.
Also, apparently, like, very close fidelity in terms of actual lawyering stuff.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
It's taught in law schools. Yeah.
It's just like, and it's got a very satisfying ending. It's got an amazing performance by Fred Gwynne, Herman Munster, as the judge, who's this, like, you know, he's probably in his 60s, 70s at this point, old guy. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Like, a bunch of great character actors in it. And Joe Pesci, Ralph Macchio, you know, transitioning out of Karate Kiddom into the next phase of his career. Like, yeah, it's really, really good. So that's my what's popping. It's worth seeing if you haven't seen it. It's a really good, like, you know, feature comedy. Lemon, I wrote it down. Where the fuck is it? Here it is. Oh yeah, the real short. I got this Mac calendar, and it's like kind of synced with my Google, and it's kind of synced with my phone, and certain things show up and certain things don't. I don't know what the fuck is going on with it, but it's just annoying to deal with, and I just want one thing that just syncs evenly across everything. So dealing with the fucking calendar, I'm sure it's just on my end, but it's bothering me. And for a peach, I just spent a week in Toronto recording a smooth jazz holiday album for this. I've been doing this like smooth jazz thing for a little bit now. It's kind of a bit, but kind of not, like, take the music seriously, but make shitty decisions in terms of how it sounds.
Is it as Brian?
No, it's as Trey Magnifique. Here, I'll show you real quick, even though I know. Here. Okay, is this showing up? That's me.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. You look good.
Thank you.
Show a little taco meat. Okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay, Brian.
So I played the sax for years. I wanted something else fun to do with it. And I thought, since, like, smooth jazz is so open for kind of doing a bit. Also, I realized all my favorite music fell squarely into the genre of, I think this is bad. So I wanted to write music that was ambiguously good. Like, so
I love it. I can't wait to hear that. When's it drop?
Really? So the full length is out. The holiday one will come out in hopefully early November. I got to say, don't love the idea of putting an album out around the election. But on the other hand, it's a holiday album. So what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah. Might be exactly what people need.
Yes, it might. Yeah. You know what? I have thought about that. It might be what people need. So
you also could wait till December if you're like, I want to be fully holiday, you know.
I could. But, yeah, it's more just like, do I want to be the guy promoting an album if Trump gets reelected? Not really.
Like, yeah, I hear that.
That's kind of
that.
Like, there's more important shit to be worried about. I don't know. So
I hear that. I hear that. Yeah.
Anyway. But
I think if that's the case, the album will be the least of our worries.
I tend to agree with that. Yeah. But all right, Layton, hit us.
All right, let's go. Lemon, I read two terrible books this week and they made me really mad. Both of those books, one was called Scanlines and the other one was called Only Ever Yours. The first one was a terrible ghost story based on the Budweiser tape, and it was just completely wasted that generally really good premise. And the second one was dumbass YA shit. So fuck both those books. I hate you. Peach, there are some, it's going to be like 106 today, but there have been flashes where it's slightly cooler out. That's giving me hope and life. So clinging to that shit. And what's popping for me is that there are a multitude of prison documentaries hosted by Sir Trevor McDonald that are excellent documentaries on YouTube. So if you look up prison, Trevor McDonald, he treats everybody with such respect and curiosity and talks to a lot of fascinating people in prison. So those are my three.
Great.
Efficiency.
Yes.
Binio.
What was the second one? It was that it's cleaner outside.
Oh, that it's slightly, there are moments where it's colder outside. Like there are some evenings where it's like, oh, I need a jacket, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm covered in sweat and my dog is on my lap. So I'm covered in sweat and dog hair stuck to the sweat. So that one's important to me right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Binio, thank you for being on our show. It's so nice to meet you. Please, please come back sometime so we can monopolize your time further.
Yeah, well, I feel like we all found such a fun groove about things to talk about. We didn't get to talk about like the stuff you're doing. You know, you have this amazing career as a writer and
a comic.
Yeah,
I had like interview questions and shit.
Like, we didn't get to talk about any of that stuff.
We'll do it on the next. We'll do it on the live one.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
hell yeah.
You know, it's been like we're talking about. It's been like 5 years since we've seen each other, so it's just great to have a chance to catch up.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So fun to, you know, reconnect and then also meet you late after hearing so much about you.
If people want to check out your stuff, where can they find you? Where do you want to point them?
Binium Biz on everything. BINIAMBIZ. You know, same on if you request me on DoorDash. Maybe able to might see me delivering. You never know. Might be doing some research.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thank you guys. I'm gonna hop off and let me know whenever it comes out. I'll post whatever, you know.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. So great to see you, bud. Thank you for your time. And we'll see each other soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye guys.
Bye.
And goodbye. Goodbye, audience. Also.
Wait, hold on. There we are.
Goodbye, audience.
I have a long spiel to get into now. No, I'm just kidding. I would never ever want to waste a moment of your time, Layton.
I have therapy that
I
need.
Well, I don't know. Maybe get better, and then we don't have to deal with it. All right, bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Layton Knight is produced by Brian Wecht and Layton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LaytonKnight. Follow us on Twitter at Layton Knight, on Instagram at Layton_Knight, or email us at LaytonKnight@gmail.com.